Word. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, we'll start reading. And by the way, if your mom is not here and you want to take a rose to your mom, feel free to do that. Take her a rose. This year is my first year without my mother. And so I told the Lord today, I said, just would you tell mom happy Mother's Day? And so I think she got the message. He loves me and I know he loves her. So I'm sure she got the message. And what an awesome time, isn't it, for her in heaven, her first Mother's Day in heaven. Yeah. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He neither faints nor is he weary. How many has ever thought before, the way you are, you stress God out sometimes? Well, he's not weary. God's not wringing his hands on the throne when we go through stuff. He's just standing there patiently waiting on us to trust him and to just lean on him. Lean on him, he said. Trust not in your own understanding, and don't lean toward your own understanding, but lean toward him and trust in him. He says he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. If you came in this morning and you feel kind of weak, he said he gives power to the weak. This little tube that's hanging on my side and draining out of my back, I'm telling you, this is hard for me. In fact, I've been told by a nurse this week that there's only one or two stitches hanging on, and I said, Jana, get the clippers. And Jana said, no, we're not getting the clippers without the doctor's approval. So thank God for good women and good moms and for for a God that doesn't get weary it's tough though sometimes, isn't it? So he's given me strength to make it one more day, and I'll have out the tube tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. He gives power to the weak. And whatever weak area, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, he said he'll give you power to go through. He'll give you power to go through, and if you want it. If you're interested, if you take time. And those who have no might, he increases their strength. Isn't that good? To those who have no might. It's just wearing me out. Well, the good news is he's going to give you strength. He's going to give you strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And even, yesterday I got a call from my little brother, and his brother-in-law is the one that was in Conowall yesterday and had overdosed on some drugs. And, even the youth faint and are weary, aren't they? Because they don't put their trust and all their hope and strength in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's a safe haven that we can go to, all of us can go to and rest. And he'll give us strength. The young men shall utterly, let's back up to 30. Even the youth shall be faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And Father, we thank you for the strength that you've given us. Now I want to take you to Genesis, the third chapter. Go with me to Genesis. And Mom, while you wait, I thought about when I was looking for someone to talk to you about this morning, and we're not going to look at Eve's life per se, but I want to show you something that I think is pretty common to moms, and that is whenever something happens in the family, taking responsibility, carrying that responsibility in your heart and your mind sometimes is, I mean, moms would say that it can be a real load sometimes. When we're having issues in the family, and trying to examine and say, what part did I play and bring? What could I have done different that this wouldn't be happening right now in our family? And as your kids get older, like your children are older, the complexity and the issues change, and they get more complex, and so you have a lot of things to deal with. And so, but I, when I thought about its origin and where it came from and how it can affect women and moms in particular, it said in Genesis 3, it talks about the serpent being cunning and crafty, and he begins to have conversation with Eve, the first mom of all living, and they're debating about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it says in verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die," because she said, you know, God said, just don't eat of that, because the day you touch it, the day you touch it, how many moms know here today that there's things in life that He says, if you touch that, it's going to bring death to you. May not die today, but it starts a death process because it's not good. It's not holy for you. It's not wholesome. And so there's a death process starts the day we begin to track after something that's not of God. And so the physical death won't come today, but death will come today just like God said it would. Same way it is when we're living our lives. And we're not on a righteous path. He says, there may not be death today, but there's decay begins today, the day we touch whatever it is that God said, don't touch that. Don't mess with that. And so he says, for God knows in the days that you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And by the way, that's part of that. I mean, you know, part of that is the truth. The day you eat, you will know good and evil. And up until this time, wouldn't it be something if we didn't know anything about evil? Wouldn't that be a great planet if we knew only about righteousness and holiness? I think that's the transition from here into eternity is we won't know about wrong and right. We'll just know we're in the presence of an almighty God that's love and righteousness, and where sin can't abound anymore. You know, we can't look upon God and live today because we in this body, we're under a sin system. And so we can't live in the presence of God. And so there will be a transformation and we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then we'll have more of a spiritual body with some kind of mass because he is translated to different places. And I think we'll be able to do the same from planet to planet throughout the universe. It's just what I believe according to Scripture. But he says, the day you eat, you know good and evil. And said, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and evidently Satan's standing there and he's munching on this fruit, and she saw that he's okay, he's eating it. And how many know sometimes we look at life and we think, oh, well, they're doing it and they're okay. I mean, it seems okay because they're doing it and they're not dead and they seem to be happy. And so it's kind of a symbol as Satan stands there and he's munching on this fruit. And we always picture an apple tree, but some sort of fruit tree that looked good. And if Satan's eating it, it must be okay. It was good for food, she saw. And it was pleasant to the eye. How many know there's another attraction for moms? When you go to the mall and it's pleasant to the eye, it snags you, doesn't it? I asked Jana Friday, I said, what do you want for Mother's Day? And she said, well, you know, there was a little suit down at Dillard's. And I forgot about it being Mother's Day, where I probably bought it last week. My wife's a good helper. And I said, well, we get through with dinner, I'll take you to Dillard's and we'll get that little suit. And she said, you feel like it? And I said, yeah, it's Mother's Day. You kidding me? And so we go down there and she's looking at the rack and she's picking through. And I said, which one is it? She said, oh, it's not here. I thought, well, then what are we doing here? But I didn't say that. I thought, what are we doing here? And then I remembered, it's pleasant to the eye. It's pleasant to the eye. And so she's having fun. This is her Mother's Day gift. So she said, I'm going to get all these off the rack and I'm going to go to the dressing room. And for your pleasure, there's a chair right there. Now all you have to do is sit right there. So I sit right there, just, you know, till further notice. Mother's Day is pleasant to the eye. It's pleasant to the eye. That's part of what God put in you. It's pleasant to the eye. It's funny to watch, you know, like Rebecca and Haley and some of these young moms when they get their own nest and watch them begin to see what's charming to their eye, what attracts their eye, and bring into their nest. It fits their person. I always love that, you know, with young couples. You go over and you see their house and you see what attracts the... And the guy don't have a clue, right? It never mentions it's attracted to the eye to Adam, does it? Never mentions nothing about that, because we don't, you know... What attracted to us was you. And that's all we care about is you, you know. And if you like that in the house, then that looks good to me, you know. But that was a thing about the eye, and that's a part of your gift, and it's a part of your weakness, is what attracts your eye, and what attracts you, and it's you saw it's good and it's pleasant to look at, pleasant to the eye, a tree to desire to make one wise, and that's another trait. A mom's always wanting better for their family, aren't they? Always wanting better than for their family, and so. And she took the fruit and ate. And here's a part of the problem. She took and she ate, and then she also gave to her husband. She also gave to her husband. Now, she didn't force feed him, but she did give to her husband. And she will always be credited as the one that made the transgression, the one that will always be accounted as the fall that brought this new sin system in that we live in now. That will always be attributed to a woman. Good or bad, it's just a fact, isn't it? I think you could make a movie on what if Adam didn't eat? What if Eve would have eaten and she had offered it to Adam and he would have said, no, thank you? What would have been the difference? Would he have represented the Holy Spirit? You know, like when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. And it wasn't a sexual thing because it was born of a virgin, the Bible said. It was just a miraculous thing that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. And would it be different? And how would it be different if Adam would have said no thank you, and there would have been half that would not know about good and evil, and there would have been half that... You could make a movie out of that, couldn't you? Yeah. But here's something for moms. Whatever attracts your eye, be careful that it's wholesome and it's good for you, because when you're an influencer in your home, and when you take whatever it is that attracts your eye as a homemaker, as that nurturing person in the family, as that nester, is whatever attracts your eye, you're likely to offer it to your family, and they're likely to accept because of your influence, because of how they look at you as an influencing factor, as somebody that's nurturing and loving and always wanting what's best for me. Because you're the one that when we have a skinned knee, you know, as we're little children, we run to mom, don't we? Usually we don't run to dad. He's like, get up, quit crying. What's the matter with you? Suck it up. You know, mom's like, come here and let's pat you and love you and pat your knee and poor baby. And, you know, normally that's the way it is. And so you go to mom for nurturing. And then turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And you know, this is the New Testament, right? And it's many, many years later. But here's the news in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He's talking about the gifts of men and women and teaching and not, you know, this is Paul talking to Timothy. But here's what I want you to catch in our story today in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. Now here's many years later, you know, a few thousand years later, and still in the New Testament, they're talking about Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. She fell into transgression. And so here they are in the New Covenant, still talking about it. It shows you how weighty sin is, doesn't it? To know that from the Old Covenant, in the beginning of time, of human time, that is, here they are a few thousand years later still laying the blame square on the woman. And it shows you the seriousness of what attracts your eye and what compels you and what you do and the weightiness of it, of how we have to carry that. And so it says, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing. And then he gives a little list, and this is what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. She will be saved in childbearing if they continue in these qualities, these traits, faith and love and holiness with self-control. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. So there's those four things that they focus on that says, while you wait, Mom, here's some traits, here's some qualities that really God evidently admires and says you ought to play on. Faith, love, holiness, with self-control. With self-control. I don't know how you are, and everybody's different, but whenever we're out and about and there's an accident of any sort, if it's we're motorcycle accident, a horse accident, you know, kids falling down and banging their head, whatever it has been, it's been my experience and my family that Jan is not the cool and collective one I am. The first thing out of her mouth when anything goes wrong, doesn't matter who's around, is, Jack! I said, would you try Jesus or something, you know, sometimes. She said, well, I know he sees me, but you're close and I can see you. So that's your job. That's your job. And so that's you know, I have to take up the slack and have the self-control. But I've noticed the older she gets, the more these traits are alive in her. The faith and the love and the, you know, all of it, you know, is more. Now, I want to take you to one more story in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And when I thought about who could I look at for these traits, this is the woman I came up with. May not be the one you picked, but this is the one I came up with to just kind of show you what these traits are alive in her. And I think they're similar in your lives. And most of the ones that I know here today, I think most of these traits that abide in her, that they're in you, our moms. And I just want to look at them quickly and kind of give you a atta girl, Mom. Because I think these are you. These are reminding me of most of the ones of you that I knew today in our church. And you know the story. Elijah has given, he's pronounced that there will be no rain in the land until I give the word. And he says, until I pray or speak the word. And so he's trotted off, and probably for the first 6 months, you know, everything's, you know, somebody comes in and prophesies something major. Well, when it first happens, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But can you imagine after 6 months and no rain in Oklahoma? We've been about that long in, what, 3 or 4. And man, everybody's like, there's a drought. We don't know if the wheat's coming up and the yards are looking bad. And so after about 6 months, so people probably start talking, you know, it hadn't rained in like 6 months. And then can you imagine a year? A year in Oklahoma without rain, or wherever you're at, a year with no rain, a year in 6 months, and then 2 years, and then now it's going over 3 years, and there's been no rain, and man, it's serious. And everybody in the country's looking for this dude right here. They're all looking. The king's got search parties out for him, and he, you know where he's been. He's been in the safety of the Lord, and he's been down by a brook feeding. Every day the Bible said the birds bring him meat and bread 2 times a week. You thought we had airmail first, huh? Airmail every day. Can you imagine? I don't know where the meat and bread came from. Maybe it came from heaven. It doesn't say. But every day, twice a day, there was some kind of birds brought in meat and bread, you know, like McDonald's or whatever it was, twice a day, meat and bread. Wouldn't that be something just to go? You say, well, you didn't. Well, I'm going to go meet the birds. It's time for dinner. You know, it's time for lunch, whatever. And then all of a sudden, and it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if God commands birds to bring you food, why would He let a brook dry up? How many knows if you can smite a rock with a stick and water comes out, God can produce water from wherever He wants to produce water. But for some reason, He says, the brook dried up. The brook dried up. Listen, Mom, maybe sometime when the brook dries up, it's just God wanting to bless you. When somebody else's brook dries up, it may just be God wanting to bless you. But here's the problem. Here's the. If you're not operating in these four elements of faith and love and holiness and self-control, you may miss the blessing. You may miss the blessing. That's why it's good just to keep self-control at all times. That's why it's important just to keep a holy attitude at all times. You might miss the blessing because sometimes it comes in a peculiar way, as it does in this story. So the Lord says, the brook's dried up, and He says, arise and go to Zarephath, verse 9, in 1 Kings 17, verse 9, and dwell there See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so, evidently, God has already spoken to the widow. And it doesn't seem like it when we read the story, but just keep that in your mind, that God has already spoken to the woman. And this is not only not just any woman, but this is the provider. This is the sole provider of her home. Her husband is dead. She's a widow. One of the hardest things, probably, in self-control that I've dealt with over the years as a pastor and couples is where it tells the man, it says, to love your wife, that's your job, and to the woman is to submit to the man that you married. Just remember that whenever you know, he doesn't look as the way he did when you married him, you still got to submit. When you thought he was smarter than you think he is now, just remember, you still need to submit if you want to walk in the area of holiness. And here's the age-old argument. I'd submit if he loved me like he's supposed to, right, ladies? So you can either get caught up in a vicious cycle, or you can say, I'm walking in holiness, I'm going to submit to what's his name, and we're going to be blessed. Because that's what he said. That's the hard part. And part of it, remember, came whenever Eve did what she did, and she transgressed, and it was carried over to the New Testament, said Eve transgressed, not Adam. And so that was partly carried over, and what happened was, remember, he said, here's part of your payment for that, Eve, is that you will be in submission to your husband. He will have rule over you. And then I'm going to add a little pain for childbearing. Evidently, before the sin, before this system was involved, there was no pain in childbearing. Wouldn't that be a great day? Have another baby? No problem. Plop, there it is. Want another one? That's a little insensitive, I know, but that's, you know, you get the... I'm just saying, there's when we don't walk in these elements, and when you're not in the elements, Mom, that God said, there's always consequences, right? And that's two. That's two pretty big ones, isn't it? Childbearing pain and submission to your husband. You say, I can do the childbearing, that submission to that husband thing. That's the hard one. You know, that's labor every day, right? So here she is, and she's the breadwinner now, and times are tough. Can you imagine in a very, very tough economy where drought has driven food prices through the roof and whatever else, you know, we talk about gas being high and stuff, cost of living. It's nothing compared to what this lady's in, the economy she's in her day, and she is the sole provider for her and her family. And God still expects her to walk in this faith and love and holiness and self-control. It still works no matter what condition you're found in, no matter what economy you're found in. God still expects you, Mom, to walk in this, and when you do, you still reap all the blessings and the benefits of walking in this. Are you with me? It's hard, but the blessings are the payoff. That's the payday. And so it says, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Now, that's not a great statement. That's not a burdensome statement. But can you imagine if it was really you and it was your last day? This is the last day and now you're going to get up and this is yours and Gage's last meal. You know, yours and your little children's last meal, for real. And you don't have a husband anymore. There's no man. You're the sole provider now. And this is for real. You're in a real situation where the economy is terrible. And today, you know that there's enough meal for one more cake in your barrel. Can you imagine the stress of that? Just knowing. And maybe some of you in this building have known what it's like to have to ration out and give your kids a bigger portion so they won't be hungry and you take whatever's left, if there is any left. Maybe some of you know what that's like. I don't. I was privileged to grow up in a home. We weren't rich, but we always had plenty to eat. And my mother, you know, we cured meat and done all that stuff. And boy, it's a great time for me. They said, you know, everybody knows me. So you had an Opie Taylor life. except I had Andy and my mom, and every, you know, I didn't just have a Miss B. It was a great life. So I can't relate to that, but some of you probably can, to say that, you know what, you can relate to that was your last meal. Now, when I had a teenage boy, and he would bring his teenage buddies over, and they'd raid my pantry, sometimes I almost could relate to that. I remember it getting so bad, I finally took him to the pantry one day. I said, "You see all this food in this pantry? That's my food. And you belong to me, so you can come in and raid it, and you can have all you want, but all those friends you're bringing in and emptying my pantry every day, they can't come anymore. We can ration them some stuff, but, you know, you talk three or four teenage boys, and they just got open rain, and you come home, and there's nothing. You know, it's like, we got to go to the store again, you know. But what if you come home and this is it? This is, and it's the last day and there's no more. How many knows that statement when somebody comes in, especially the preacher? You know, the preachers always want your money and stuff, right? Always after our money. You know, you hear that. And I hear that and I think that's just, you know, I just feel sorry for people that think that. They don't know about the principles of giving in the kingdom, and I understand all that. And I just know that they need help, if that's anybody's concept of what the church is. But you hear it, you know, you hear it. And so you address it and you go on. But here's the preacher, and I'm sure that it's probably an open forum. He's at the gate of the city, so there's probably other people sitting around watching this activity. And as they know this poor widow is poor as she can be, and the preacher arrives, and the first thing he does is, he don't ask her if she needs anything. He asks her to go and wait on him. I mean, knows if you're a mother and it's your last meal and you're preparing it for your children and you know you're going to eat this and probably there's a good chance you're going to die after this, if somebody asks you to go and fetch them a cup of water, how many knows that the attitude in the mix just changed? Then if you've got a lot of food and you've got a lot of energy and you're not worried and stressed about, how many have at least come this far to say finances being broke and not knowing how you're going to pay your bills can stress you out? When I was a young contractor, I can remember one time, the economy is tough, and I can remember my wife and I not being able to pay electric bill, and they came and cut it off before I could make another check, and I remember running an extension cord to my neighbor's house and borrowing some electricity. I'm the poor, dumb provider of my family, and I'll get electric from wherever I can. And it's a nice house, a really nice house. And when I bought the house, the economy was good, and I was a young contractor and making good. But when it collapsed, it went flat. And so I had to do what I had to do, and we got the bill paid the next day or so, and it was fine. But I came home, you know, my young beautiful bride crying and saying, "What's wrong with the electric problem?" You know, it's stressful. If you'd asked me to go get you a cup of cold water about that time, I'd have probably hit you in the nose. I said, "Get your own water. Got my own problems here." Why? Because my family. You're not my family. I'm providing for my family. And so he says to her, "Would you go get me a cup?" And not even loan me a cup, or could I help you get? He just says, "Go get me a cup of water." You know, and as she was going, I mean, I could just feel her shoulders nodding up as she's going, thinking, you know, I really don't want to mess with you today. Today is about me and my son, and it's, you don't know how bad it is. You don't know how what kind of a mess we're in today. And you can feel her stress and her tension, you know, but she's going. How many knows that's called faith? How many knows that's called holiness? Putting somebody else above you and your son for a few minutes. Huh? I mean, that's a lot of self-control. I'll get you a cup of water. I'll tell you what, I'll get you. I mean, all the elements are there. Love. You know, she loved God, and she probably recognized this as the prophet. Maybe not the prophet, but she's getting ready, I think, to recognize him. But he calls to her and says, as she's going, "Okay, I'm going to go get him a cup of water." So she gets her mind off herself for just a little bit. And remember what God said, "I have commanded a widow to take care of you." In other words, I've already spoken to her heart. But how many knows when you're in a stressful time and the blessings are cut off and the blessings aren't coming in anymore? How many has ever said this? "God, is this you or not?" That's a good question, isn't it, that we ask when the blessings stop. God is this you? Are you mad at me? Are we okay? See? So all the blessings that stop, she knows she's providing, and she's going to get the man of God a drink of water, and he says to her, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And you notice he's not offered to do anything, and everything's about bring it, go get it and bring it here. Can you see those elements working in her life? And here's the good news, ladies. It doesn't even say she was happy about it. It doesn't say she was just skipping along. Woo, I'll gladly get you something, man of God. Good news is you don't even have to be in a good attitude to get God's blessing. Thank you, Jesus. But you gotta watch, you know, you gotta watch the attitude because it digs into the holiness part, right? And the love part. But she says, would you bring me a morsel of bread? And then she loses it. This is where she lost it. But there is self-control, isn't there? Watch what she says. The Lord, as the Lord your God, she don't even call him my God anymore. As the Lord your God lives, I just don't have any bread. You know. But she doesn't lie, does she? She keeps it real. She says, I have a handful of flour. I have a handful of flour. Let me tell you something. When you're down to your last bit and you share some of that with somebody in need, that becomes a sacrificial, holy gift as unto the Lord. I'm telling you. Some of you think because you don't have much, you have to, God doesn't bless your gifts and what you have to share. I'm telling you, when it's tight and you're sharing some of your love or gifts with some need or somebody that you see, and you're sharing that when things are tight, that's when the blessings are just ready to be poured out on you. So don't get too tight-fisted with what you have. Now, don't be a bad steward and don't give under compulsion, the Bible says. But I'm telling you, he said, I've commanded this widow to keep you. This keeping is not about the man of God. This keeping is about the one that needs the help. God can send him more birds with more meat. Are you understand? I mean, this is about the woman that's stressed out. This story, if you missed it, is about the woman that has the great need and has the son. It's not about the prophet. It's about the woman that God loves that's getting up every morning. And the last morning that she thinks they're ever going to live on this planet, Earth, probably, and they're going to start their decay and death, this morning she's getting up because she loves her son and she's gathering sticks with all of her weaknesses and all of her lack. And this morning, by faith, she's out gathering what she's got to do what she can for her son. And she's acting as a holy mother because she's taking care of him with her last breath. And she's showing self-control because she's not just crying and losing it and blaming and all that kind of stuff. And so on the last day that she thinks she's going to be alive on the planet, perhaps, she's out displaying all these qualities. And God says, because you are, I'm going to send a blessing into you, but you better be careful because when the blessing comes, you might miss it. You might think it's a burden. I think a lot of people miss blessings because they think they're a burden. Let me tell you something. Some of the most fulfilling times in your life and my life is when I reach out and touch somebody and meet a need that it's a real need, and we meet it, even if we have lack in our own life, but we meet it. Isn't that gratifying? Oh, my gosh. You never forget it. You never forget something that God used you to do to somebody else when you had needs in your own life. Yeah. So she says, you know what? I've just got a little flour, a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar. She got a little mentality, doesn't she? You can tell where she's at. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. This is just like a 2-stick fire right here. It's small. And that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't have the gift of mercy much. I mean, we do gift tests around here. If you want to take a gift test, and it shows you what you got. And I got a 2 in mercy out of 16. But I'm telling you, if God would have sent me to this widow's house and she had told me this, I don't think I could have said what this man said to her. After she told me that, and I could feel her stress. And I don't know, it doesn't say she was crying, but I just believe she was crying. How many moms say she was probably crying at this point? I mean, it probably wasn't like, well, you know, we don't have much oil, and probably like, we don't have much. I can just see her, you know, just sense her. Because this is it. There's nothing breaks your heart more than when you see your children lack, is there? I don't know what it would be if you see them and know it's a real need in their life and you see lack, and it's like, and so she's probably just broken and crying. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, but make me a small cake from it first." I'm telling you, that's tough, isn't it? That is tough. Especially if in the gate of the city and there's people sitting around listening to you, the man of God, you know, mooching off a widow that just told you, "I don't have much left. Do you understand me? Do you understand? I got a little bit. We're going to cook this. Do you understand? And we're going to die. I hear your pain. Just go make me a cake, would you? Can you just go make me a cake, please? I'm really hungry today." What did he say to walk in? Love, faith, holiness, and self-control. And he says, "Make me one first, and then bring it to me." He's been on that bring it to me stuff, isn't he? He don't offer to do nothing. But remember, he's the blessing. He's not the burden. He's the blessing, Mom. Are you with me? The blessing may have come, but it don't look like a blessing. At this time, with all this going on in my life, that doesn't look like a blessing, so I'm not doing that. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to walk in faith, love, holiness, self-control. You don't have to walk in that, but if God sends a blessing and it looks like a burden, you just miss the blessing. You think, "I just discarded one more burden from my life." But be careful, because it may be the blessing. It may be the blessing. So, you go make me one first and bring it to me. Bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for you and your son. It's almost like you got any left, go ahead and make you guys some too. And then he says this, and I think this is where she caught on. I bet, if I were a betting man, I bet this is where it clicked in her head, where God had begun. He said, "Remember, I have commanded a widow there in Zarephath to take care of you." I think this is where it clicked in her head. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." I think that's the minute her mind snapped, and she said, "That's the one they're looking for. That's the man." Now, that's just my assumption, but I think at that moment her whole thinking changed, and she looks at him and said, "That's the man they're all looking for," and he has just given a word. And if he has a word that when he prayed and it's not rained in 3 years, I think he may have the word for the day. And the Bible said, "And she went and she did according to the word of Elijah." She's practicing love and faith. And by the way, When he says that you need to practice love, God means that you and I and Mom, we have to practice love for God over our children. How many knows Elijah represented the Holy Spirit or God in this case? You need to give an offering, and he comes in with the word of the Lord. He comes in under commanded blessing. He's there by appointment. He's not there by just happening by the gate that day. He's there because God has sent him. So when God sends you somewhere, you go as God's representative, right? You're sent. You see people sent to countries that literally just take those countries and turn them upside down through the evangelism, because they're sent. They're an ambassador of God. And that's the way we should operate here in the church, is we're sent by God to whatever area you operate in, music, worship, praise, teaching, mowing grass, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing around here and in the kingdom of God, in your community and family, should be by appointment, because now we become ambassadors for God. So this first thing, he says, there come a time when God will say, "You've got to put me before your children." That's hard for a mother, isn't it? It's hard for a dad, but it's especially hard for moms to say, "You've got to put me ahead of your children." Here's one way you can do that. When Junior or Missy wants to bring in stuff as they get older in the house that's not godly, you say, "We don't do that here. We put God before that. And if you bring that, then you can't stay here." That's hard stuff there. But you either get them in their mess, or you can say, we don't do that in the house, and we don't allow this in our house, because this house is ordained by God, and you don't bring that in the house. You may have to never go through that, but I went through that with one of my hard-headed boys. And since I only got one, you can figure out who that is, right? And said she went, and he said so she went her way and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days, and the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. That's the payoff. That's the payoff for holiness and faith and love and self control. And how many know she had all four to have to do that? Wouldn't you say that as a mom? She had all four of those. If you're gonna go and make the preacher a cake, and you got a little bit in there, and it comes between you and your son and the preacher, how many's gonna pick your son almost every time? That's the way it is with me. If you come to my house, there's me and my son and you. You better go find something else for you. If it's my last meal, unless the Lord moves to do it, and then we should already know that He already has moved, right? Because He said to share what you have. You know, so that you should be invited. We'll third it, but I'm not making you nothing first. Are you understanding me? Unless God tells me, I'm not making you nothing first. My kid is first, and then you and me. But she didn't hesitate, did she? She went and she made him a cake first, and I'm sure she did just what she made the cake, and she brought it to him. And I'm not sure about her attitude. The Bible doesn't say, but here's the good news. He didn't say it. He had to do it with a good attitude. He said, just do it. That's what faith is, isn't it? Can you remember the first time you ever prayed for your enemy? You know, that God said, love your enemy. You're a young Christian. You discover it and you said, pray for him and bless him. Are you kidding me? And the first time you did it, can you remember doing that? I can remember doing that. And it's like, well, bless him, I guess. I mean, that's about it, you know. Good Lord. I'm a hypocrite. And he said, no, now you're operating in faith. Because you're doing what I told you to do. I felt like a hypocrite, but now I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit because now I'm doing. And that's the way she must have felt when she came with that cake. This should be my son's, but here you go, man of God. There's your cake. I hope when we get to heaven, we get to see a video of this, don't you? Wouldn't that be cool to see a video of this and see how close we are to our thinking? You know, I'd love to just see a video and watch this. I mean, that'd be great, wouldn't it? To see how it literally unfolded. And see what everybody was mumbling to the preacher about that sat by the gate. Can you believe he asked that poor widow for a cake and made her bring it to him while he sat there knowing her and her son starving to death? Isn't that awful? He calls himself a Christian. I mean, God wasn't wringing his hands and God wasn't stressed out. So I just want to encourage you all because I think you do it already anyway. Walk in faith. Walk in love. Walk in holiness. And walk even when you don't want to, in self-control. you might just even practice that. This is me under self-control. It may not look like it, but this is it right here. This is me under self-control. And enjoy the benefits. While they get ready for baptism, is Taylor out there? Get ready for baptism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our moms here today, and I thank you, Lord, for showing us a lady that is definitely walking in faith and love and holiness and self-control in a very stressful time in her life. And Lord, if she can do that under these conditions, I know our moms can as well when they face similar stressful situations. And I ask Holy Spirit that you would just give them an anointing to do so. And in areas where maybe they struggle, in one of these areas where they've really struggled, I ask blessing and grace today. I ask for a new anointing today that you would help them in one of these areas. Maybe there's a couple. Maybe they just need to be reconfirmed in some areas. But today I pray blessing and strength on our moms today and ask you to use them in these areas and give them the grace and strength to walk in these areas each and every day. And then help them, Lord, just like you did with the widow, to enjoy the benefits. Because there's benefits that always come. And so we ask you to help them to enjoy the benefits. knowing, Lord, that sometime when they walk in these areas, and it's going to be a real sacrifice. It's going to be a real strain and stress for them to do so. But as they determine to walk, I pray that you'll just heap up the blessings upon them. And all these areas that you blessed her with, nourishing her and her son and providing and being her provisions. Bless them in the same manner, Lord. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.